Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the movie Mission Impossible, 1 minute at a time. I'm Chris.
I'm Dawn.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Matt.
This minute begins with Ethan now telling Sarah to abort, so now he's going back to what Jim said earlier, and ends with Sarah standing in fog watching Gallitzin.
It's like, yeah, now you want to abort. God, where were you like 5 minutes ago?
He's definitely now seeing the error of his ways.
Technically, would that have changed things?
If he had gone along with Jim's original abort, the exact same thing would have happened. So,
yeah.
Right, because they were still in the car. They hadn't left the car. They were still going to get in the car. The car was still going to explode.
What?
Probably.
The car explodes.
The car explodes.
I haven't gotten to that in the narrative of the minute.
It's in this minute. The car explodes. Exploding cars.
All of them?
All of them.
Oh, wow.
Every car.
In Prague.
In Prague. All at once. It's amazing. Fireworks. Boom.
Ethan's absolutely frantic up on the bridge, and so he mutters, God, and then goes running off in a panic and is trying to get back to, I think, Sarah?
Yeah, because Sarah's not hearing him because she's turned off her communication because Jim has told her to.
That's a good question. Has she turned off her communication? Is that what you
think?
That's
the thing.
Yeah, oh yeah, because she's not hearing him.
They don't show... I was assuming she was ignoring him, actually, because they don't show her doing anything to turn anything off. So I was assuming she was just not listening to him.
And I think the order was to...
Because the abort came after, and then after the abort came, the turn off your communications. Why would she then do that?
Was the order not to just not broadcast?
Right. The order was not to broadcast, wasn't to turn anything particular off.
So she can still listen in.
Yeah.
Hannah finally makes it to the car. It's been 15 minutes.
She had a long walk. Maybe she's wearing heels. Maybe she's wearing heels and it's just really hard to walk in those with any sort of speed.
Cobblestone streets.
Yeah, not designed for heels.
Hannah gets into the car with Claire. Ethan arrives to see.
Boom!
I say this every time I see it. It startles me every time. I've never liked that kind of effect in a movie. I don't like when cars explode. This one's more realistic because they don't have those horrible shots like in Casino where you actually see them switch the real human for a dummy in like a split second and then it blows up. I'm always like, well, of course it's going to explode. But when and it just explodes from far away, it's 100 times worse. I think that's one of my fears.
To be in an exploding car?
That's legit.
To be in a car with Claire.
That explodes.
Well, it's a great cut, you know, from Ethan to the car because you see the explosion in the shot of Ethan. Or the bright light of the explosion in the car in front of the shot of Ethan and immediately cuts to the car exploding again, which is interesting because that's something that De Palma loves to do. These double effects more than once, you know?
And if you go and look, the car does explode twice because it's already upside down when it explodes a second time.
Yeah.
At second 43, the whole car is upside down from its initial explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And then blows up again, like really blows up.
Yeah. So two car bombs.
Well, if they were supposed to be all in there, yeah.
One for Hannah, one for Claire.
How thoughtful.
It's like the gift that keeps on giving. How sweet.
Happy Swedish Day.
They knew what they signed up for.
Now Claire has paid the ultimate price for her terrible coffee.
Ooh.
Yeah, callback.
Pretty rough.
It was apparently pretty bad coffees.
While this is going on, I don't think Sarah notices any of this because she's down on the promenade next to the river, still following Gallitzin in the fog, and neither of them seem to be reacting to the fact that a car just exploded.
Pretty loud. I would think that they would hear it and have some sort of reaction, but apparently not.
Right, especially if they're supposed to have two-way communication with all of these things. She doesn't seem aware it happened at all.
Is that just how they mark the hours in Prague?
Exploding cars?
Yeah, 10 o'clock, blow
explosion.
Up a car.
11 o'clock,
blow up a car.
12 o'clock, we get two cars.
Blow up 12 cars.
You've been there, you tell us.
Well, all the cars that exploded there were due to me, so can't say it's a real municipal thing.
Were you trying to steal the wood that was in the cars?
Wood paneling was very nice.
When we go back down to Sarah's point of view, and she's still following Gallitzin, this is where I start wondering, after the explosion, are they shooting, and Chris, maybe you can help me with this, are they starting to shoot day for night?
No, this is full-blown night still. You can tell. There's a big difference. Day for night is, I mean, it's got the look of it, but the shadows aren't there for it. There would be
it's
much
so
more,
blue, though.
Much harsher. Yeah, it's. I think it's a combination of the lighting. I mean, you know, Berm loves to use those like specific lights, and especially at this time, And so does De Palma. They love to use these very, very specific lights. I mean, if it was day for night, she would be blue as well.
Yeah, she does have some sort of cast of light on her that gives her the... She has human skin tone.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah, she'd be super blue.
Yeah, she would be. This scene was blue to begin with, but as she gets closer to Gallitzin, it gets bluer and bluer to see how he pulls it off.
I assume it's getting bluer and bluer because they're getting closer and closer to the source of that blue light.
Yeah.
Which is down the street next to a fog machine.
Yes.
I really love the effect that it gives to of maybe like a classic spy movie vibe. I feel like Mission Impossible is so often just an action movie when I think about it in a sort of a big one impression sense. But I love the idea of just the spy movie, the shadows, the skulking, the following. Good stuff.
Well, the skulking is something that we don't even see anymore in the most current ones of these movies. Definitely this movie was still trying to do more of a traditional spy feel.
Yeah.
I think there'll be scenes later in this movie where there's not a shadow to be found and it's in the widest room ever.
Yeah. Sarah has some sort of reaction, but she doesn't because it seems like she's reacting to what she's seen as opposed to any sort of explosion. And you see her make the decision to move forward. It seems like, you know, her decision is she's looking at camera or looking off camera, off screen, basically towards the other opposite end of the camera and then looks to her right. And then looks back and it looks like she's ready to make with her decision final.
She doesn't even know that Jim's dead.
No, she does not.
Because no one's actually said, oh my God, Jim's dead.
Yeah.
Man down. Man down, Ethan.
Man down.
But then again, it's also kind of strange, right? If she is able to hear everything as she should be able to, because you haven't seen her turn anything off, she should also have heard the gunshots because Ethan heard the gunshots and that's why he looked at his watch to begin with.
And it makes you wonder about her as well. You know, is she a good guy? Is she a bad guy?
And if Claire and Hannah get blown up, you would hear the explosion in your ear.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Almost probably to the point of pain.
Yeah.
So the only thing to actually make it make sense, I guess, would have to be Chris's original idea was that she turned off her headset somehow, even though they never showed her turning it off. Otherwise, everything doesn't really make sense.
Because she'd stop with Gallitzin at this point and be running back to see what's going on with her team.
Yeah.
Unless she's made the decision that the knock list is more important.
Have the filmmaker shown us that Sarah has free will.
Well, I came in at minute 21, so I don't know. No?
No? I don't know if anybody has free will except Ethan.
Yeah.
And well, also earlier in the minutes earlier in the week, it looked like she might not have been hearing what was going on either, because she was reacting to Ethan saying all these things, not to what was actually being said.
Okay, so maybe we can assume she didn't have one to begin with, and she's filtering everything Ethan?
No, she didn't have one in the building.
It's a little bit of a mistake, not showing her pulling a thing out of her ear.
Yeah, it causes all these minute podcasts that they knew they were going to happen 20 years later to have problems with this scene. We got to throw in a scene. That's my De Palma. We got to throw in a scene where the late. It's spot on.
That's exactly what he sounds like. I mean, it's amazing. I thought he was in the room with us.
If we don't have Sarah take off her ear thing, no one's going to know. Bada bing, bada boom.
You'll be getting a call from De Palma at some point after this message.
Nope. He's never going to call me because he knows I'm right. And he knows I've captured his soul. Might not sound like him, but I've captured his soul.
What are you going to do with it?
Yeah. Feed it to the
Put
porg.
Put it in a porg. I'll swallow your soul.
Come get some.
So the minute ends with Sarah looking off, Claire dead, and Sarah looking off at camera to Gallitzin.
Claire dead.
Claire
minute
dead.
Minute in, Claire dead.
Minute in, Hannah dead, Claire dead.
Sarah looking.
Sarah may be dead. Yes, that's where we stand right now. All the lamps are dying.
Yep, we're down to two members of this team.
I thought you guys said that nobody was going to die in this 5 minutes. When we talked on Monday?
Jonathan being optimistic on Monday. He was still reeling in the pain of the loss of Tony Beretta.
At the start of the movie.
I've had a lot of loss happen in the past 2 weeks, and I might not be the best judge of where this movie's going. But luckily we have two more people left on this team, and everybody's doing great.
Everything's fine.
Everyone's great.
Two people. Yeah.
No one's going to die at all.
Nope. We're all good.
So, tech of the week? Tech of the episode, guys? Anything? Tech of the episode?
Tech of the app.
That's what I said, tech of the app.
No, you said tech of the episode.
Oh, fine. Tech of the app. Okay, go on.
Technology of the episode.
Don't take your sorrow and anger out on me, man. I'm sorry.
It's not my fault. Tony's gone. I'm sorry. Chris, I'd like to apologize.
Thank you.
I lashed out.
Yes. A couple seconds ago. I know that the team is dying slowly, but come on. Hold it together, man.
There's still four of us here, and we're all on the same team.
Are we? Four now. Are we, Matt? Are we on the same team?
Okay, a lot of my bedrock assumptions have just been shaken.
Abort.
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 All of us just turn off our microphones, leave. Go.
Everybody panic. Go rogue in opposite directions. My tech of the app nomination is the fog machine.
It's putting out some thick fog.
That's some great fog.
Good volumetric stuff.
But it's all like 20 feet behind her. You know, it's not anywhere near her.
Yeah, see her
You can't have it near her. That would be terrible filmmaking. It's just like, oh, look, I can't see her.
Hazy shapes killing each other.
Well, we haven't seen anybody kill anybody yet. All I've seen is a gun shoot a guy and he fall off a bridge. And then I saw a
bomb. He held some jam, too.
Yes, he held some jam in his arms. And then I saw a car blow up.
And there was an elevator. Does that count as killing
someone? Right now, this is a victimless crime. Really, all of this.
They're all accidental deaths, as far as I'm concerned.
The elevator one is exceptionally bad because when you watch it minute to minute, you can actually see the frame where his face is impaled on that ceiling spike.
Collapses pretty in on itself, man. It's ugly.
A real De Palma special.
We're in dire straits with the team. Hopefully you guys can come back tomorrow to finish off this week of episodes. The team is not doing well. We had 6 members of this team. Well, how many did we have at the beginning of the week? 5?
Claire, Sarah.
Jim.
5.
This week, and Dawn and Matt killed 3 of them.
Excellent.
Thanks for having us.
I like car bombs. They're fun.
Oh my God.
You can't say that.
Can I not say that on a podcast?
I don't think you can say that anywhere to anyone, ever.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I would like to nominate the car bomb for the tech of the app.
No.
It was a double car bomb, so that is pretty techie.
Okay, you know? Double car bomb. Only if you change it to double car bomb, because that somehow makes it sound funny.
Yeah, double car bomb.
Sure, double car bomb. That's all my tech of the app.
I'll allow it.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. Yeah, I'm going to do that too.
That is pretty impressive. Yeah.
Matt, for your next to last tech of the app, you got anything else?
Oh, man. I do think the double car bomb is really impressive.
All right. That's what wins. It's the single entry in this week's. It's a single entry in today's. So it'll be the double car bomb. It's impressive.
It's impressive.
And it's the only thing so far that's taken out 2 members of the IMF at the same time. We will see you guys tomorrow for minute 25 and wrap up the week with Matt and Dawn. Thanks again for coming, guys. You can always reach us at MinImpossible, M-I-N Impossible on Twitter, and always on Facebook at The Impossible Minute Force, where we talk about everything. I've been Jonathan.
I'm Dawn.
I'm Chris.
And I've been Matt.
This minute will self-destruct.
Wait, and another one. In honor of the double car.